Elon Musk doubles down on saving democracy, while Joe Biden signs the gay marriage protection law, and Carrie Lake puts up a significant election lawsuit challenge, which has opened up the prospect of a two-day trial to overturn the Arizona gubernatorial election, or, at the very least, force a revote in Maricopa County. All these topics and more coming up on the next exciting episode of The Good Fight. I am your host, Mark Thielman. Please stay with us. Well, hello and welcome to another exciting episode of The Good Fight. Yes, it turns out that when you are the world's richest man, you can afford a lot. For example, you can drop $44 billion on a failing technology platform known as Twitter, and unbeknownst to you, not only did you purchase a social media platform, but you ended up finding X marks the spot and digging up all of the nefarious behaviors and collusions and graft and greed that our government is so good at producing. Yes, the Twitter files continue to erupt, if you will, kind of like Mauna Loa. The fallout is just oozing out of the vault of Twitter, and it is basically putting a bullseye right on the back of our federal government. We're talking about the Department of Homeland Security and a whole host of other agencies that most of us have never heard about. It turns out that there has been a deliberate, long-term collusion between the federal government, in particular, the government once Joe Biden took office. For example, the Twitter files have uncovered that Katie Hobbs, Secretary of State in Arizona, who ran for governor and supposedly has defeated Republican opponent Carrie Lake, it turns out that Katie Hobbs also colluded with the government to suppress speech that she did not like. Yes, I know what you're thinking. Well, what kind of speech? You know, it's not as popular as it used to be. It was called free speech. She colluded with the government to free speech that she decided was misinformation, which is really defined as speech she and her operatives don't like. Yes, Elon Musk is so unpopular, I don't think he's going to be invited to the White House Christmas party. Bill Gates, I believe, has received an invitation, but not Elon Musk. And I'm not sure Elon would go even if he was invited. Now, what's the significance of the Twitter files? Well, it exposes things that most conservatives have known for a long time. We've long suspected collusion in the Hunter Biden laptop and the actions to cover up things that the wokeites in the FBI and the Justice Department don't like. But you see, all of those things up until Elon Musk dumped these files, which are facts, by the way, once he pushed them out through the journalist Matt Taibbi, who, by the way, is no fan of the right. He is not a conservative. He was once dubbed the champion of the left in the media. He's basically a pseudo-wokey. Now, there is some speculation that he took a sip out of a Wokebane coffee mug. Yes, that he put an elixir in that mug, not realizing its power. And he took a sip and suddenly said, you know, for some reason, I'm starting to make a lot more sense. You see, before, the left could always hide behind conspiracy theory and conjecture. Okay, I'm going to say it again. That's conspiracy theory. That's just conjecture. You know, you're making points and arguments without any evidence. This is what they always say. No evidence, no evidence, no evidence. And then when you show them evidence, they say, well, you're mistaken. That's a conspiracy. You're a far right. You're a racist. You're a bigot. You're a homophobe. So once you commit them with facts, we already know that those on the left and in the media will then switch tactics to attack you personally. Well, that's what they've done with Mr. Matt Taibbi. So he used to be a darling of the left, but now that he's working with someone who is a threat to their power, aka Elon Musk. And remember, Elon Musk is a threat because Elon said we have to allow diversity of thought. Elon Musk is basically, he didn't say this directly, but he is alluding to something that's so offensive to the far left woke communist. And that is the concept that ideas, a marketplace of ideas in particular, are the bedrock of diversity, not skin color. I'm going to say it again. Elon Musk is purporting that a free marketplace of ideas is the fuel of diversity. It's what makes this country the greatest source of the world's innovation. It comes from that diversity of thought in which we engage in debate, if you will, and even arguments. In the free market of ideas, the most viable arguments tend to take on the majority and become the tipping point. And that's true in products. It's true with the iPhone. It's true with all kinds of things, but it's also true in the realm of ideas. So I want to give Elon Musk 5 gold stars because he recently was booed in an event with Dave Chappelle, who called him up. The audience was booing Elon Musk, and he just kind of defiantly put his hand up and said, "Look, I'm the world's richest man. You can boo me all you want. I'm going to go home, and I'm going to be rich. And I own Twitter, and I'm going to keep leaking this stuff because I got the 50,000-foot view saying democracy cannot survive without a diversity of ideas. It's the diversity of ideas that the government has to protect, not the other way around. If we put leftist wokists in charge, they will tout diversity as a virtue in the same way that Joseph Stalin in 1940, when he was trying to get help from the United States to oppose the German invasion, if you will, Joseph Stalin said, brothers, we stand in solidarity for country, for bread, and for liberty. Now, Joseph Stalin saying liberty, it's kind of like the devil saying, I hope everybody gets a nice dose of forgiveness and salvation. However, that's what the left does. Joseph Stalin did it, okay, because he had an objective. So he told people the words they wanted to hear in order to get help from the United States in 1940. Now, it's no different here, but Elon Musk did something that was counterintuitive. He stood up while being booed and said, these are the facts. I'm the world's richest man. I am going to continue to be rich, and I'm going to continue down this pathway because I believe firmly in the free marketplace of ideas. So kudos to Elon Musk. We don't have to like the man to appreciate what he stands for. Being the world's richest man has its advantages. So Elon Musk is saying, I want the vast majority of people within a broad bandwidth of reason to be able to get on the social media platform and speak their mind, even if it's not popular with the government, even if it's not popular with the woke left. And that is critical because that is why Elon Musk is being hailed as a person who has saved democracy. Now, I wouldn't say he saved democracy. What I would say is he is reviving, rejuvenating that zeal for democracy. We need to have this free marketplace of ideas so that we can have checks and balances and we don't end up in tyranny or in a communist regime where the government tells you what's right or wrong and you can do very little for yourself unless you have permission. A permission society is what they have in Venezuela. It's what they have in Cuba. It's what they have in China. With all the recent protests in China, that should be a wake-up call. Yes, Good Fight, that we, members of the Good Fight family, are on the side of history, on the side of truth, and that we believe we are all part of something greater than ourselves. They had a media love fest all day earlier this week as Joe Biden signed the Gay Marriage Protection Act, which basically codifies that two people of the same sex want to get married, they can get married. But if the Supreme Court overturns that and states start banning gay marriage, this law will now protect people, even though they outlawed gay marriage, would thus be forced to recognize the union of two same-sex people. Now, I know what you're thinking, Good Fight. A lot of people are saying, well, why is the government involved in marriage at all? And do you need a marriage to really be committed to one another? Well, in reality, the answer is no. However, marriage does have some tax implications and it has some law implications, if you will, in terms of estates and property and privileges that do come with being married. This act actually doesn't affect any of those things. What it says, though, is that if you, hey, states, if you ever change your mind, you have to recognize that gay people are married. And if two gay people from your state where you outlaw it go to the state where it is allowed and they get married, you have to recognize that marriage. That's what this law says. There's been a lot of confusion around it. But I think my favorite thing is to look at the way Communist Joe, who has set his mind to make morons great again. Yes, Joe signed the bill and he says, this is a strike against hate in any form. unless you're not vaccinated. Did you hear me, Joe? Yeah, that's true, Joe. Unless you're not vaccinated, Joe. See, I'm going to do some remembering. I remember when Joe Biden got up in front of the whole country in a national address and said, this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated, which is really funny because the pandemic started before there was any available vaccines. I mean, we're talking deep thoughts here. These are the people we elected to run the country, folks, which is why we need more Woke Bane coffee mugs and we need to have them everywhere. They make a great Christmas gift. Yes, you too can go to inthegoodfight.org with Mark Thielman. You can go to our merch page, and I'm telling you, we got even more merch coming. By the way, Epic Times is reporting that the time is up for vaccine acceptance. Yes, there's so many people dropping dead, literally, from heart attacks, from embolisms, from aneurysms, all kinds of issues. An increasing amount of evidence suggests it's related to having the vaccine, and not just the vaccine, but multiple boosters. The CDC has finally conceded that more vaccinated people are dying of COVID in the hospital than unvaccinated now, and they are at a loss to explain that because it's so safe and so effective, you know? I mean, it's so safe and so effective, more people are dying in the hospital who are vaccinated. These are just facts. Good fight. If you've been vaccinated, don't sweat it. Just don't go get vaccinated anymore. I'm talking about the COVID vaccine. You don't need any more of that. So Joe, our president, really believes he struck back against hate. And the reality is he's done more to divide us than anything. This bill was passed before the Republicans took power in the House. And because they're afraid of Clarence Thomas's signal that we may have to revisit some of these, because technically states should be able to decide whether or not they support gay marriage. Now, codifying something in law does not make it a constitutional right. However, it does provide protection for gay marriage. So with that, I'm going to get to the biggest topic of the day. And this is the Carrie Lake has filed a major lawsuit. Now, good fight. For those of you who listen regularly, I gave kind of a balanced assessment of the situation down in Arizona with the debacle of the Maricopa County election. People not being able to cast their vote, voting machines that weren't working right, printers that weren't configured correctly. A whole host of issues that led to a lot of people being, quote, disenfranchised. Now, that's a word we've been using up here in Oregon in our lawsuit. And it's a term Carrie Lake and Mark Fincham, by the way, I've had a nice conversation with Mark Fincham. I really wish he and Carrie some good luck. It is important that they pursue their grievance through a court of law. So just yesterday, there was a hearing before the judge. Carrie Lake, Katie Hobbs, and some others were ordered to show up before the judge. And the state of Arizona, the Secretary of State's office, Katie Hobbs, immediately pushed for dismissal. And what the judge said is, I'm going to set a separate date for dismissal. I've called you here to hear kind of the general arguments. She didn't automatically dismiss the case, but she also set a potential trial date and then had the plaintiff and the defendant, so Carrie Lake and Katie Hobbs, those teams then debated with each other in front of the judge about how long the trial should be. Carrie Lake's team wanted a 3-day trial. Katie Hobbs, of course, wanted a 1-day trial. They settled out for 2 days. So that is an update there. There will be a hearing soon to decide whether or not the case does get dismissed on summary judgment. I would argue that if the judge went through this much trouble, I'm not expecting that the case will be dismissed. I could be wrong about that because most of them are. The representative Republican process. Yes, a free market of ideas where individual free people agree to work together and live together as long as they can be in charge of their lives and that they're allowed to make basic decisions that affect them and their loved ones. Yes, I know. It's scary, isn't it? It sounds so traditional, yet it's so radical. By the way, Common Sense Radical t-shirts are also up for sale on the website, inthegoodfight.org. Go for it. Now, there's some significant fallout that you'll see. So two things have happened since this trial. The media got really nervous that the judge didn't summarily dismiss this case. And you'll see two schools of thought. So good fight. Let me arm you with some tools that you'll need to talk about this in a way that makes so much sense and that's easy to understand. The reason why Carrie Lake in the last episode, I said she needs to put up or shut up. Because obviously the left is going to come out and say, you have no evidence. That's the argument they're going to make. But she now has put up instead of shut up. And she has provided a tremendous amount of, shall we say, anomalies. and supportive affidavits, testimonies, and if she's able to produce some of the factual documents, some of them, by the way, some factual documents were included in her claim directly, which you can see, you can look it up online. It's kind of a fun thing. There's a lot of good issues that really do need their day in court. You know, and I'm excited for Carrie Lake. Now, I'm more excited about getting into a two-day trial for one reason only. There have been very few election challenges anywhere that have gone through a trial proceeding, none on the national level. Now, granted, she filed in federal court, so this is a national level implication. Why? Because there were national candidates on the general election ballot. So this is substantial. If she can get to trial, she will be the first. I was hoping Battleground would be the first, but hey, this is about preservation of truth and freedom in our Constitution. And if Carrie Lake beats us to the punch, then I'm right there on her team. I'm right there in the dugout. Put me in, coach. I'm ready. That's what I'm hoping for. Now, I'm going to be real honest. Here's the downside. I know I'm normally a pretty optimistic guy. I get it. You know, everybody's like, hey, Mark, when I listen to you, I love your podcast. It's pithy. It's funny. And it's also insightful. And I learn. Well, here's the hard lesson that comes when you have to look at a situation with all the hope and dreams that we have, see? But we need to understand that there's two things that have happened this week that are historic. One is obviously the Elon Musk issue with the Twitter files. So I'm going to codify it now. Elon Musk's Twitter files took what used to be speculation that the left could say was a conspiracy or, you know, you don't have any evidence of that. And it turned it on its head because we've always suspected collusion of the government, where the government is willfully acting against its citizens, or at least a group of citizens it disagrees with, which is, by the way, unconstitutional. But now we have the receipts. See, the Twitter files are a receipt that says this is really happening. Now, I'm going to encourage you over the holidays. We got holidays coming up. You're going to be seeing people you don't normally see, relatives, loved ones, friends. And some of your friends may not agree with you, but this way of explaining it to folks is so important. If you simply, when they say, oh, it's just a bunch of conspiracy blah, and you say, wait a minute, I'm so mad at Elon Musk. Say, whoa. Elon Musk's concern is he's not concerned that people disagree or that Twitter decided to ban people. That's not what he's upset about. What he's upset about is that the government put pressure on Twitter prior to his purchasing it. And Twitter, the machine of Twitter, colluded in return. So here is the collusion, the suppression, the violation of speech was coming from the government. That is tyranny. Tyranny is when a government takes force actions that are unpopular to a large portion, not even a majority, but a large portion of its population, and they do so by force without representation. In other words, there's no opportunity for redress because the government owns the courts, the government owns the police, because the government owns the Justice Department. This is what happens when we lose a government of the people. And believe me, we were well on the way to losing it, but our Republican constitutional democracy wants to preserve itself. And it generated a clear-thinking, rational guy called Elon Musk. And Musk has done us a great favor by giving us the receipts we conservatives need to go to our loony friends over on the far communist left and say, you guys, come on, give up the ghost. All right? And remember, this could cut both ways. So we need to get our government under control. That's what we need to do so that we can live free and have a free marketplace of ideas. And we can decide how best we want to proceed and move forward and what we want from our government. So this is a beautiful thing. So what are we hearing from local leftist Maricopa County coverage? Because I think that's the most authentic. Well, they're saying that her complaint was really poorly written and that it doesn't have any real evidence. And it's laughable. Woke Main coffee mugs are the future salvation of America. Carrie Lake is really getting scrutinized. However, I will now tell you the facts around her complaint. So here's what I want people to understand. Yes, her complaint was long. It was 70 pages. I read the whole complaint. There was some repetition she's being criticized for, but what people need to understand is that repetition is part of the legal process. So she would visit a concept, and then that concept and some of the exact wording would show up later in the complaint. So some of the local media are talking about that is evidence that it's poorly written. But you see, they're forgetting that this isn't some kind of, shall we say, pedophilia novel that some of these folks on the far left love to read. It does have logical progression. And what I really liked about it was it actually suggests remedies to the judge that are not mutually exclusive. So in other words, the judge could pick three of the remedies, they could pick one of the remedies, or they could pick all of the remedies. That's kind of the way it was lined out. And I think that's important because for a judge to overturn an election, this would be like a mega first. I mean, it has happened on some tiny levels, you know, little city mayors and things. But in general, for a county, you know, I was looking right back through the turn of the 20th century, and I have not seen an example where that actually happened. I've seen judges overturn election based on a recount, or that votes were not counted because of some criteria that was later determined to be unconstitutional or not in line with city or county law or policy. This is a little different, obviously, because this is talking about people who never voted at all. And so let me teach you what Katie Hobbs and the very, very skilled leftist communist propaganda team have talked about. Katie Hobbs went into the hearing and said, "Your Honor, we are very confident that we can prove that every Maricopa County citizen that wanted to vote had the, quote, opportunity to vote." That's her argument. And the thing is, that's actually a good argument for Katie Hobbs on the left to use, because technically, it's the truth. Now, if you waited to vote till the last day of the election, when you had lots of opportunity to vote early, and then the lines were so long because the machines weren't working, and you're elderly and you didn't want to wait for 4 hours in line, so you chose not to vote, Katie Hobbs is going to say, "Too bad on you." Now, these are people who say, "Everyone's vote should count, every voter." Now, this is the humor of it. So what I'm saying is, it's a good argument. It's the argument she has. It's the argument she's going to use. But here's the issue. All Carrie Lake's team has to do is say, these folks who weren't able to vote, yes, they had the opportunity, but they would have been able to vote had the assurances from the Secretary of State's office that they were ready to go in the election and all the machines were certified and everything was ready to roll. That announcement might have made them feel comfortable waiting till the last day to vote on election day, like a lot of people want to do. So where's the burden? The burden, in my opinion, is on the government. It doesn't matter if they had multiple opportunities. People are people. Life happens. If you show up on election day, well before the 8 o'clock deadline, and there's 5,000 people in line, every vote should count. If you decide you can't wait in line that long and you choose not to vote, you should have the ability to call the election office and say, "Hey, I really want to vote, but I can't. I'm stuck here. What do I do? Can I put it in the mail?" I mean, let's be real. Okay? And the reason I'm saying this before everybody gets panicky and says, you know, Mark just said vote by mail. I didn't say that. What I'm saying is these people would have had the opportunity to vote on election day, which was their choice, if the government had honored its word and had its word been true. But as usual, the government's word was not true. Not true. In other words, the government of Maricopa County, they were lying. So it really comes down to that judge and what the judge determines, because having the opportunity to vote and then going to vote and then having that opportunity taken away from you, that is a legitimate perspective. And that is going to be what Carrie's Lake team will argue in some of those cases concerning folks who are on record saying that they tried to vote, but they couldn't. Now, the beauty of it is the elections were pretty good in other counties, so they should be upheld. This is clever. She's not saying overturn the entire statewide election. Did you hear me? I'm going to repeat it. She is not saying overturn the entire statewide election. I mean, that is an option that the judge could use, of course. But what she's saying is, hey, outside of Maricopa County, I won the election. Those votes should stand, and we should redo the vote in Maricopa County. That's what she's saying to the judge. Now, what's interesting is, if the judge orders that, then Carrie Lake is the governor-elect. That's kind of how that would roll out, pending the outcome of Maricopa County. And you understand there's a timeline too, because power is supposed to transfer on January 2nd to the Katie Hobbs administration. Katie Hobbs. Woo! I got it out. It's just so hard to say. It's like sandpaper in my brain. But I digress. So there's a lot of options. The judge can overturn the whole state election, and the judge could declare Kerry Lake the winner based on all the evidence. The judge can say, we're going to do a revote in Maricopa County only while the rest of the counties stand. Just so everyone knows, there's a first time for everything. If the judge determines that the election must be reconvened in Maricopa County, then we're into uncharted historical territory, at least in any kind of recent institutional memory. However, what it does is it will legitimize election challenge complaints, which since 2020 have had kind of a hostile reception in the courts. The good news is Arizona has a fairly conservative court compared to other Ninth Circuit states, and there's an option here to have this thing move forward. So all that being said, by gum, I want to wish all of you a happy, wonderful holiday. I hope that you guys have time with family and friends, and that you take a moment to appreciate what we have in this country, the freest, the greatest, the most amazing country on the face of the earth. Take a minute to appreciate what we have in this country and engage with your loved ones on the left over the holidays. I hope and wish you all a blessed time. Again, I am your host, Mark Thielman. That's Mark with a C. C stands for conservative. I'm going to sign off and God bless. Can we set aside our differences?